With the third pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select LaMelo Ball from Chino Hills, California.
It would have been a proud moment for those in the NBL and our man, Scotty, who we were talking about this week. We've claimed him now, LaMelo Ball, for the rest of his career after seeing him up close and personal here in Australia. We were very happy with that yesterday. Jeremy Lolliger, the NBL CEO, joins us on the line. I'm sure he would have been as proud as punch as we saw four draftees with NBL backgrounds into the NBA yesterday. Jeremy, good morning and welcome to RSN.
Morning, chaps. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a pretty special day.
Now, how close are you to LaMelo? Did you get to shoot him a text or any of his representatives congratulating him on the pick?
I sent him and his manager a congratulations along with RJ and his parents and Josh Green in particular. Sent him a few texts back and forth prior to and during the draft, and he was certainly very, very excited. I feel sorry, though, for Justini and Jessup. I shouldn't feel sorry for him. He got picked up second round in the draft, and it was a fantastic day for him. But he's obviously on his way here to play with the Hawks this season, and he actually spent the draft in quarantine in a hotel here in Australia and found out all by himself. So our thoughts go out to Justini, and I'm sure he's still got a very big smile on his face being a second-round draft pick with the Golden State Warriors, but not the ideal circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as an administrator and how far this league has come in the last 5 years, how proud were you yesterday to have that volume of players from the NBL heading to the NBA in the next season?
Yeah, look, very exciting. I think particularly with RJ and LaMelo going in the first round, I think that sort of underlined what the Next Stars program is all about. In one short NBL season, we have a kid who was ranked number 46 in his class when we contracted him, prove all the doubters wrong, and get drafted at number 3. And at the same time, the NBL broke every viewership and attendance record in 41-year history this past season, largely because of LaMelo and RJ being here. And I think that sort of underlines what the program's all about. You'll never find a better example of a win-win situation. We're incredibly proud to have been able to play a small part in their journey.
From where was the program born, like the idea, when it was thrown up initially? How was it embraced and then delivered, obviously?
Yeah, well, it was born out of the fact that Terrence Ferguson came and played a season with the Adelaide 36ers, and he then got drafted at number 21, but the important piece in that puzzle was that he chose to come to the NBL instead of going to college. And there were some question marks at his time around his academic eligibility, but it made that decision easier for him, I guess. But that's when the penny dropped that, hey, there's something in this, and we are a legitimate pathway alternative to college basketball. And so we, I guess, nationalised the program, made it a league-wide program in which the league goes out and sponsors these players and contracts these players. When I say sponsors, we pay part or most of the salary for the players to encourage them over here and then work with them to place them into an NBL team and basically give them the opportunity to be the best version of themselves that they can be ahead of the draft. And I think we're starting to prove that the theory works.
So, Jeremy, when a kid is drafted into the AFL, when he plays his first game, there's a financial reward that goes back to their original club, their junior club. Within these, particularly LaMelo and RJ being in the first round, they're obviously going to play for their respective teams next year. Is there any financial reward that comes back to the NBL for them too?
There is. So the circumstances are a bit different. It's not when they play their first game. It's when they accept a guaranteed contract. If they've got a multi-year contract elsewhere, then in order to be able to accept that contract into the NBA, that contract obviously has to be broken. And so the NBA have rules around how much a club is able to pay in order to induce another club to terminate their contract, a buyout fee. So that amount comes back into the program, essentially. It's what funds the next generation of Next Stars to come through the following year. In the ordinary course, it gets shared between the NBL and the club who he played for in order to basically cover the costs of their being here during the season. And then we use part of it to engage with those players on, an ambassadorial basis in year forward. So you can expect to see more of RJ and LaMelo's faces still, because they will become ambassadors for the league.
Now, I may have missed this, but the NextStars program for this NBL season, what are the players? Have we got any players coming out?
We do. We've got four players. So Didi Luzzatto will be playing his second year as a NextStar. Now, he's a player that we colloquially refer to as a draft and stash. So he's already been drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans. And I would say it's only a matter of time before he gets called up to their senior roster. But he's playing here as a next star until then with the Sydney Kings. So this will be his second season. Justinian Jessup, who I referred to earlier, he's another draft and stash player. He was drafted yesterday, as I mentioned, by the Golden State Warriors, and he'll spend, we hope, the season here with the Hawks. Now, if we did see Klay Thompson suffer a leg injury yesterday for the Warriors, there is a possibility that Justinian could get called up earlier than we were first anticipating, I guess, but we hope to see him here for at least the season. And then, really importantly, we've got two super talented Australians, Mojave King, who's going to be playing with the Cairns Taipans, and Josh Giddey, who's already played his first couple of preseason games with the Adelaide 36ers. Very, very strong candidates for the first round in the draft next season. They do have the opportunity to play here two seasons if they wish and go in the draft following that, but they have big reputations. They've both performed at a very high level for the junior national teams. And Josh Giddey, in fact, has also played with the Boomers in the senior team. I think he's going to turn a lot of heads this season.
And, Jeremy, we finally have a knowledge of when we're going to kick off NBL, mid-Jan?
Mid-Jan. All systems go for mid-Jan. We're still finalising the schedule, and as borders change day to day, it continues to be a bit of a moving feast, but we anticipate having a schedule that will probably be announced on a rolling month-by-month basis or something along those lines, but with a mid-Jan start date now firmly penciled in.
So there's always bubbles talk these days. Would you do that, or you're trying to avoid a bubble? Is it too hard for the NBL?
No, it's not too hard. We're certainly still exploring the concept of having maybe a temporary bubble. And if we can find a willing host that makes sense logistically and commercially, then I think it would be a great idea to perhaps accelerate play in the early part of the season to bank a significant amount of content, just in case anything untoward should happen towards the end of the season.
Fantastic, Jeremy. It's great news, not only for the league, what's happened over the last year, but also that we're getting underway, because normally we'd be stuck right into it now. So it'll be great to have some basketball back on our screens in mid-January. Thanks again for your time, as always, on RSN. We look forward to probably touching base just before we all kick off in January.
Thanks, fellas. Really looking forward to it. Thanks for your support.
Jeremy Loliga, the